Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is so good, and I'm thankful again for this occasion here to be here tonight. So thankful for what the Lord has done, and that's how, yes, we can yet meet, we can yet gather here, and oh, yes, we can yet worship the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's just go to Him in prayer right now. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, again, I thank You for this opportunity, this night here together. Oh, God, thank You that we know that where two or three are gathered together in Your name, that there You are in our midst. Oh, God, we thank You for Your word that prompts us, that talks to our hearts. Oh, God, that shows us the things that we need to see and how we need You in these times, God. Oh, Lord, with all the confusion, with all the wildness in this world, oh, God, these strange things that we've never seen before, Lord, I pray that You'd help us, that You'd prompt us, that You'd guide us. Oh, God, that You'd comfort us, Lord, that You'd give us peace that passes all understanding, Lord. I just pray that Your word would register in our hearts, Lord. Oh, God, You know exactly what we have need of here tonight. I pray, oh, God, that You would minister. Oh, God, I pray that You'd help us. Help us to get ready to meet You, Lord. Oh, God, help us to make sure there's nothing between You and our soul, Lord Jesus. I pray, oh, God, oh, Lord, that Your will would be done. God, You know, oh God, why this message. I pray, oh God, that You'd help me to bring it forth, Lord, that You'd use it. Oh God, that it would go forth and do that which You would please, Lord. Oh God, how we need You. We need to be ready, Lord. I pray that You would talk to us. Oh God, that You'd guide and direct this, Lord. Oh God, You know who needs to hear this message. I pray in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, talk to us. Minister to us. Oh God, help Your people, Lord. Encourage Your people. Strengthen Your people. Heal Your people, Lord. Give us faith to believe You, God. Oh God, give us strength to go forward and to believe in Your promises, oh God, and to obey Thy word. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, let Thy will be done. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. The devil have no ability to disrupt us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, we are blessed to know the Lord, that is for sure. Praise our God. Oh, praise the Lord. This was rather interesting. I just had this thought this morning to go in this direction here with the scripture, and I thought, Lord, you really want me to, you know, talk about baptism tonight? And anyway, it was so interesting because I was just, you know, praying about it and pondering, and there was a big Bible in my walkthrough closet, and it'd been sitting there on that chest of drawers for a long time, and, you know, I had it in my heart to move it and put it in maybe a better place, I thought. And so I had moved it then. And, you know, I looked inside, and there was a little note and, you know, explanation that there was a leaflet that was included in the Bible. And, you know, this woman who wrote the little note said, this leaflet was randomly selected by John Jeffcoat at the museum. On your tape, you preached that an individual should first read Acts. And guess what leaflet you received? Acts. Isn't that such a coincidence? And of course, your favorite activity, baptism. God works in mysterious ways. Take care, Anna. You know, interesting. I just thought, oh my, Lord, how You put things together. But praise the Lord, with His help here tonight, I'm going to be calling this message the Doctrine of Water Baptism. Praise the Lord. And, you know, we've talked about water baptism many times. It often sneaks into the messages one way or the other. But, you know, it's been a while since I did a study directly on that. And, you know, I just felt the need to do it here. Tonight, the Lord knows why. But praise the Lord. I pray that the Lord would use this message for His name's sake. Amen. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. As we begin, I said I'm calling this message the Doctrine of Water Baptism. Let's go to Hebrews 6 here for just a few verses here as we begin. Just the first two verses here in this sixth chapter of Hebrews. Praise our God. Hebrews 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. In verse 3, I guess I better include that. And this will we do if God permit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know here the writer of Hebrews, and we believe it to be Paul, was, you know, urging them to be able to go beyond the fundamentals of the doctrine of Christ. But, you know, as, you know, he's urging here, and that urge to go on beyond that unto perfection, but he's laying some of the very principal foundations of the doctrine of Christ here. And just, you know, to make sure that we understand them, he's listing them one by one. And, of course, they're not laying, again, the foundation of repentance from dead works. And secondly, of faith toward God. Thirdly, of the doctrine of baptisms. Fourthly, of laying on of hands. And oh yes, the next one is of resurrection of the dead, and the last one of eternal judgment. And where I'm going tonight is dealing with the doctrine of baptisms, only we're going to just hold that to the water baptism at this point here tonight. We notice there's an S on baptism here, and of course there's the baptism in water and there's the baptism of the Spirit. And praise the Lord, they're both necessary, they're both needed, but with the Lord's help tonight, we're going to be talking about water baptism in particular. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And, you know, I want to bring out here, if we can turn right now to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Here, I'd like to read the last portion of Scripture in this third chapter of 2 Timothy. It says here, verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. And of course, Paul is addressing this study to Timothy. And praise the Lord, Timothy had that wonderful background there with his mother and grandmother, his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, who had been believers and obviously taught Timothy likewise. So Paul can say this here in verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord, how wonderful and essential it is to know the Holy Scriptures to the very best of our abilities. Oh, yes, that need to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And how can we do that unless we study it? And oh, there's always so much more, you know. You gain certain knowledge in one direction, and oh, there's always more to God's word. But verse 16 here in this third chapter explains, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And praise the Lord, yes, the Scripture that is able to make us wise unto salvation. And we see here it's given by the inspiration of God. holy men of God were inspired, the Spirit of God breathed upon them, and they were able to write the scripture as God anointed them and inspired them to do so. So praise the Lord. Yes, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And yes, then he names these items which are profitable. Doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Praise the Lord. And here, again, we're going to emphasize doctrine. And again, that is something that suffers in this time that we live in. A lot of people want to just ignore doctrine. They just don't like that word, and you know, they like other aspects of the Word of God, but when it comes to doctrine, oh my, that hits a little hard. And a lot of people ignore it. A lot of churches don't teach it. And, you know, it's something that is very misunderstood in this time that we live in today. And, of course, if we look at chapter 4 here in 2 Timothy, it's going to explain. It says in verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 4, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering, and there's that word again, and doctrine. And verse 3 explains, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. And I believe that is the time that we're living in right now, that time period when many, could I say most, do not endure sound doctrine, but they would rather hear what tickles their ears, in other words, what sounds good to them. Nothing too deep, nothing too hard, nothing too stressful. Don't want to have to change too much. Don't want to be told that, you know, we need to repent and turn our lives over to the Lord and all the other things that the scripture demands. But oh yes, we're warned here in this fourth chapter, 2 Timothy, that time would come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Yes, looking for teachers that will teach them what they want to hear, not what the Word of God says, but something that rather tickles their ears, pleases their lust, their flesh, and not too hard, not digging down deep into the crevices of the heart. And like I said, I believe this is the time that we are living in right now. I believe indeed it is. Jude, that last book before Revelation there, this short book of Jude. Let's look at verse 3 here. Jude also felt that need. Oh, yes. And even back in his time, I have a feeling that, oh, yes, he saw things that were creeping into the churches that were not right. And, oh, yes, perhaps a lukewarm spirit, maybe coldness and everything else. But here he says in verse 3, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of a common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, that need to fight, to contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Oh, praise the Lord. We just sang that song yesterday, today, forever. Jesus is the same. all may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. And praise the Lord, yes, Jesus is the solid rock. He is the thing that doesn't change. He doesn't change with the trends and the times. He's not one way one moment and another way the next. And His word hasn't changed either. And I like how Jude is warning here so many years earlier that need. Oh, he was feeling it, to give all diligence. Oh, yes, that effort to write unto those that he was addressing of the common salvation. It isn't one way for these people and another way for those other people. No, there's a common salvation. Amen. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And so he felt it was needful for him to write unto you, he says, and exhort you, or in other words, to warn you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And oh my, I don't know that I have time to read this chapter, but you know, he's already talking about certain men that had crept in unawares. And oh my, what he was seeing, yes, full of lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. So I think we would do well to take heed, oh yes, to that which is written in this book. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But yes, we're going to be going into the doctrine of water baptism right now. And let me say, you know, we read there from 2 Timothy, that time would come when people would not endure sound doctrine, and how we've seen it. I know Pastor David Meyer, in that tract that he wrote so many years ago about the big mistake, you know, I know he wrote in that tract, and that was at that time, as far as, you know, was known, there were 635 different ways to baptize in the world. And of course, you know, we know that it didn't take too long for some of these practices to, you know, turn from that which was taught at the first. It was the second and third century when infant baptism began to creep into the church. It was the Roman Catholic Church that was introducing it. Yes, they were building St. Peter's Basilica. They needed funds, and oh my, good way to raise money, they thought. They schemed, I'm going to say, is to charge money for baptisms. And why not baptize babies? And so here was a deviation from that which the church was founded upon. And yes, the sprinkling of infants, water, just ignoring the need to repent first and everything else, became a practice there in the second and third century. But I'll tell you what, it seems like it's still around. The certain churches are still doing it. And yes, we also know that another thing that was changed, it is revealed in Connie's Encyclopedia of Religion, where it talks and tells us that in the second century, baptism was changed to the formula Father, Son, and Holy Ghost instead of the usage of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was a departure from the practice as it was begun by the apostles in the early church. And my, isn't it something? Seems to me that practice of using the titles is still being used today. Lo and behold, isn't that something? We know that the scriptures always emphasized, you know, certain requirements in the times under the law. And yes, many of these requirements were types and shadows of that which was to come there under the old covenant. We know that Aaron and his sons were required to wash with water in the laver before they entered in to the tabernacle, that they die not. And yeah, they had to wash their hands and their feet, otherwise they could be killed. And there were other requirements to be cleansed. Purification was an issue in the times of the Old Covenant. You know, they were required to wash and separate themselves after times when they maybe touched a dead body, for example, or even the priest that had to kill the red heifer and that sort of thing. Any unclean thing, there was a time that they had to cleanse after that. They had to wash and be set apart for a period, and the requirements were varied and all. But, you know, and it such it was. And yes, it said, yes, in Numbers, that an unclean person who will not purify himself, that soul would be cut off. So, obviously, my point is that God demanded such things. And again, these are types and shadows of the New Testament. Amen. Praise the Lord. But then, oh yes, we have the ministry of Jesus Christ as he came into this world. You know that John the Baptist baptized in water, baptism unto repentance. And praise the Lord, yes, they came to him, and yes, if they fully repented, then he would baptize them in water. But oh yes, there was going to be a baptism beyond that which John the Baptist offered. And praise the Lord, what was available for that moment. Of course, we know that Jesus, before he ascended back into the heavens, and he gave commands there, expectations before he ascended, things that he wanted his disciples to know before he left them. We look at Mark chapter 16. We see in verse 15 where Jesus stated, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. So here we see Jesus' instructions before he ascended into the heavens was the great need that those that would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ would be baptized. And yes, those that would believe not would be damned. But you see, he emphasized that need. He that believeth and is baptized. And of course, he goes on to tell of those signs that would follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And praise the Lord. It says in verse 19 here in Mark 16, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So yes, we can see that he is emphasizing, he is commanding the need to be baptized. Praise the Lord. Matthew 28. Let's look at that there. Verse 19. Well, let's read verse 16 first. Excuse me, verse 18 first. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Praise the Lord. So here again we see that need, that command for them to go forward, teach all nations, and to baptize them. And yes, it says in the name, praise the Lord, it says in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And when we get into the book of Acts, we'll see how they applied it. What was the saving name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost? Well, praise the Lord. Those that were being addressed here in the 28th chapter of Matthew clearly understood what Jesus was saying. They knew the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost was Jesus Christ. Amen. It wasn't a mystery to them or something confusing. We see in the book of Acts that that's how they went forth and did it. Praise the Lord. And to finish the chapter, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Praise the Lord. Of course, just trying to be thorough here tonight. Matthew 24, again, how Luke rendered it. Did I say Matthew 24? This is Luke 24. Praise the Lord. It says in Luke 24, verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Praise the Lord. So we know those were Jesus' final words. And of course, he's emphasizing, yes, the gospel. Oh, yes, it behooved Christ. He suffered. And yes, he was dead, but he rose that third day. Amen. The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. And of course, verse 47 emphasizes the need that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. This is pretty much just what Matthew and Mark were saying there at the end of their books. In other words, because yes, repentance is mentioned and remission of sins preached in his name, that's baptism. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, beginning at Jerusalem and among all nations. Yes, you know, the need to go and preach to all nations and all of that. And then, of course, the promise of the Holy Ghost, that power from on high that he promised would come upon them, yes, as they tarried for it in the city of Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. So these verses tell us what Jesus commanded before he left them, his ministry being finished, at least his ministry here on earth. So we have this need to be baptized as being emphasized in these scriptures. Now as we turn to Acts, the second chapter, we're going to see baptisms in action. Praise the Lord. Of course, the first place to go would be Acts, the second chapter. And I do have a lot of places to go tonight, so I'm trying to cover as much as I can in this time that I have here. But here, we know in the second chapter of the book of Acts, the Holy Ghost came. They were endued with the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Holy Ghost baptism, that which the Father sent forth. And praise the Lord, we know that following this event, and what an amazing story it is, that Peter stood among the 11 and lifted up his voice, and he began to preach unto them Jesus. Praise the Lord. Many prophetic utterances did he bring forth in his message? And oh my, he was bold. He was right to the point. You know, he told them, you know, that they had crucified the Lord and all that sort of thing. But, you know, in spite of that, that Jesus that they had crucified was both Lord and Christ, as verse 36 tells us here in the second chapter of the book of Acts. I'll read it. Verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly, that means without a doubt, that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And now we see the reaction of the people who heard this message. It says in verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Oh my, it's a wonderful thing when conviction hits us and oh, there's that realization that we need to turn everything over to the Lord Jesus. Oh yes, they realized what they had done. And there was a dire need. Oh my. But was there an answer? And praise the Lord, Peter responded. In verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Praise the Lord. So here, for the first time, he is going to declare to the people that had assembled there, and now, having heard his message, and now being pricked in their hearts and convicted of their sin and their wrongful deeds, and all the fact that they had crucified Jesus Christ, blood on their hands, you would say. Oh, they were convicted, but praise the Lord, Peter brought forth a response in verse 38, and how important it is telling them to repent. Oh, yes, to turn their lives over to the Lord. Oh, yes, to make an about face from all their wicked ways, all their sinfulness, all of their past. And then, secondly, the command to be baptized, every one of them, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And there's a lot in this. It tells us a lot, that need, oh yes, to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Again, there's no ambiguity here. Oh, they fully understood Matthew 28:19, when Jesus had told them, oh yes, to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Here he's declaring it. That need to be baptized, every one of them, nobody excluded, in the name of Jesus Christ. And he says, for the remission of sins. Oh, praise the Lord. The act of baptism is very important. I think many times it isn't perceived as important. It's omitted. It's rejected. It's done wrong so many times. But yes, here it's told as a command, that need to be baptized, every one of them, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Oh, that those sins would be blotted out. Oh, yes, that, oh, yes. They would be taken. They would be completely removed with no penalty, with no more payment for sin. Oh, such a need. Amen. We all need the remission of sins. And then, yes, the promise that ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I love that. You know, the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit that was in Jesus Christ that comes down to dwell in our being as a comforter. Oh, yes. The Word of Life, that same Spirit that was in Jesus Christ. Amen. It says in verse 39, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." I like that verse too, because, you know, there are people that say, this was just for them back then. It was just for the early church. It was just for those on the day of Pentecost. But I tell you what, verse 39 disagrees. It says, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Did He call you? Praise the Lord. I thank God He's still knocking at the door of our heart and calling forth His children. Oh, yes, as many as will receive Him. Praise the Lord. So, yes, that promise is for us today, that wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Absolutely. Praise the Lord. And verse 40 says here in Acts 2, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation." And yes, that generation that was going in the wrong direction way back then. I'll tell you what, I'd say it's the same today. It's very untoward. If it was untoward then, I think many, many more times untoward right now. Amen? But praise the Lord, there were those that received His word. It tells us in verse 41, "Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Oh, how exciting this must have been. Oh, yes, there was a response. Praise the Lord to Peter's message. They were pricked in their hearts. They were convicted of their sin, of their past, the fact that they had crucified Jesus Christ. But praise the Lord, oh, they gladly received the word that Peter brought forth on this day of Pentecost. And yes, they were baptized, it tells us, that same day. And yes, it says there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. About 3,000 of them were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins on that day of Pentecost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I believe, oh, maybe all of them, at least I believe many of them, if not all of them, came forth out of the water speaking in other tongues as the Holy Ghost came to dwell in their hearts. The promise of the Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. So yes, we have that very exclusive word there in Acts, the second chapter. Of course, we know in the eighth chapter of the book of Acts, too, we have examples of baptism. The church at Samaria had been baptized. We're told that very clearly, that they had been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus there in verse 16. When Peter and John came to them, they had not yet received the Holy Ghost. And that's another subject for a later time. But it does tell us clearly that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then the second part of this chapter 8 in the book of Acts deals with the deacon Philip going into the desert. He's being told by the angel of the Lord, Holy Ghost, I would say, speaking to his heart, to arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And praise the Lord. That's verse 26. And it tells us in verse 27, he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. So this man of importance, he's a eunuch, he's a treasurer for the queen of Ethiopia, and obviously he's a Jewish proselyte. And here he is, he's coming back, he'd gone to Jerusalem for to worship, and now he's coming back, and he's in a chariot, and it tells us in verse 28, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, and he was reading Isaiah the prophet. And it tells us in verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Verse 30 says, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And this is what the Ethiopian eunuch said in verse 31. And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And of course he was in Isaiah 53. It tells us in verse 32, the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? And you can imagine, how would he know? He's reading of Jesus, of course. But at this point, he had not heard that the Messiah had come, that the Christ had come into the world. Praise the Lord, and what a privilege it was. Here's Philip, sent by the Holy Ghost, right there to admonish him, to teach him, to instruct him. Tells us in verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord, what a message that must have been. Of course, we don't have many details here of what he preached specifically, but it was Jesus. And he tells us in verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And so, you know, whatever all was discussed in that discourse, obviously, the eunuch realized that he needed to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And here it is. It's such an amazing story. How I love this story. They are in the desert. And, oh, yes, they're traveling. They're in the chariot. And praise the Lord. The Lord provides in amazing ways, doesn't he? Praise the Lord. Oh, they came to a certain place, where here in the desert, there is water. And oh yes, the eunuch sees it and he says, see, here is water, and what doth hinder me to be baptized? Oh, praise the Lord, he knew and he understood that he needed to be baptized, having heard what Philip had instructed in how he preached unto him Jesus, the plan, part of the plan of salvation. Praise the Lord. And Philip said in verse 37, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Praise the Lord. Oh, that acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is God robed in flesh, the Son of God. praise the Lord Jesus. He realized it and he acknowledged it. And oh, yes, that truth that the church of the living God is built upon. Oh, yes, that rock, Christ Jesus, and that knowledge that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. And praise the Lord. Verse 38 tells us, and he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Praise the Lord. But see this amazing story here. Oh, this man who is reading from the scrolls, the book of Isaiah, praise the Lord, chapter 53. And praise the Lord how God sent Philip right there for that moment. Praise the Lord, so he could preach unto him Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful thing. And yes, as they traveled through that desert, a certain spot where there was water. And not only was there water, you know, it wasn't just a little puddle. You know, Philip didn't just, you know, sprinkle a little water in his head, you know, and just this little puddle, and there isn't a lot of water here, so I guess I'm going to have to sprinkle you. No, God made a way. Sprinkling wasn't going to be sufficient. It wasn't going to do the job. Oh, no, there's a need to be buried with Christ, to be immersed. The word baptism comes from the Greek word baptizo. And I'll tell you what, the Greeks know what it means. It means to immerse. It means to be fully whelmed or to be covered. That's what the word baptism means. Baptizo. And praise the Lord. Oh, yes. If you're not immersed, if you're not fully whelmed or covered, then it's not sufficient. Then it's not a baptism. But the Lord arranged for this. Everything was so precise and exact. God working out all the details. And oh yes, they commanded the chariot to stand still. And then both Philip and that eunuch, it tells us they went down into the water. They both went down into the water. The two of them, the water was deep enough for both of them. And praise the Lord, Philip baptized the eunuch. And it tells us, and when they were come up out of the water, praise the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Oh, what a beautiful story, but how the Lord worked that out so that this baptism could take place. What a wonder it is. Our God knows how to meet all needs. I remember years ago, there was an argument. I believe we were having a study. It was a Sunday school sort of thing at that point, and we were talking about baptism in that study, and there was an individual in the audience who was disputing the need to be baptized in water, in the name of Jesus, to be immersed. And, you know, making excuses for the possibility that it couldn't happen. Well, I'll tell you what, it came to me that, this chapter here in Acts 8, where God arranged for this baptism in the desert. Praise the Lord working out all the details and making a way. I'll tell you what, the Lord knows how to do it if we'll just trust in Him. And He made it, let Him do it. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. So yes, there was a baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus there in the desert that day. Praise our God. Then of course, in the 10th chapter of Acts, we have Peter going to Gentiles. Cornelius and his household and all that were gathered together with him. I believe he gathered a lot of people. But praise the Lord, Peter preached unto them Jesus. And praise the Lord, before that message was completed, an amazing thing happened. It says in verse 43 here, "To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." And of course, he's talking about baptism here. Peter, as he's preaching to Cornelius and his household. And verse 44 tells us, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So here, Peter was bringing the glorious gospel to the Gentiles. Oh yes, for the first time here, they were hearing the plan of salvation. And oh yes, his message was interrupted. Oh yes, while he was yet speaking, the Holy Ghost fell on those that were gathered there that day. And oh yes, those that had come with Peter, the Jews, those of the circumcision which had come with Peter, and of course Peter himself, they were all astonished. They were amazed. They didn't realize that God was going to pour out of His Spirit even on the Gentile people. It really hadn't hit home with them yet. But I'm so thankful, praise the Lord, that oh yes, He included even we who would be Gentiles, oh yes, to be participants in this wonderful plan of salvation. Oh, praise the Lord, we too could receive the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. And praise the Lord, they knew, they could tell. Oh yes, because they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Oh, praise the Lord, it was very easy to identify what was happening. Oh, they began to speak with other tongues. Praise the Lord. Oh, I would have loved to have been there. Praise the Lord. And I'm still looking for that to happen. Amen. Oh, yes, that wonderful event when they began to speak with other tongues and magnify God. And of course, Peter realized, oh my, these Gentiles too are participants of the Holy Ghost baptism. Praise the Lord. And so, yes, he knew that they also needed the water baptism. And yes, he commanded them. Verse 47 again tells us, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Oh, praise the Lord, the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, if you just say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, there's no name. There's no authority. It's the name that gives authority to the Word of God. Whatsoever we do in word or deed, we're supposed to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. That's where the power and the authority is. In that third and fourth chapters of the book of Acts, we realize that when the lame man was healed there at the Gate Beautiful, and the Jewish leaders were so upset at what happened, they demanded of Peter and the rest what the power or what the name was by which they had done that notable miracle. And oh my, Peter knew exactly what the power and the authority, what the name was. He knew what made the difference, so that that man who had sat at the Gate Beautiful for years and years begging, lame from birth, could be healed. It was the name Jesus, wasn't it? And oh yes, he declared unto them. Verse 8 here in Acts 4. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Verse 12 tells us, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Praise the Lord, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Yes, that's right. Oh yes, if they would not have prayed in the name of the Lord Jesus, that man would not have been healed. But praise the Lord, yes, that is the power, that is the authority. And yes, we know that whatsoever we do in word or deed, we are to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, giving thanks unto God and the Father by him. Praise the Lord. That is Colossians 3 verse 17. Oh yes, nothing is left out in that verse. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. So yes, we see that need, oh yes, to obey the gospel here, and that command that was given forth is, yes, we see the early church going forth in obeying that command to baptize all nations. Praise the Lord, as we see they went forth and did it, that, oh yes, they were doing it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord, understanding clearly what was meant. Amen. Traveling now the scripture to the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, we know that Paul, he was passing through the upper coast there in his missionary journey, and he came to Ephesus. He found certain disciples, and you know the question that pops out in verse 2 here in Acts chapter 19 is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And the answer was, and they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. It tells us, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So here again, Paul in his travels, he left Apollos at Corinth, and here he was passing through the area of Ephesus there, and there were certain disciples, and you know, obviously you could tell that they were believers in that sense. They were believing all that they knew, but they didn't really know that Jesus had come, and they had not, of course, received the Holy Ghost, since they had never heard that there was any Holy Ghost. Of course, the question then, unto what then were you baptized? And they answered, unto John's baptism. And of course, Paul went on to explain that John barely baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And praise the Lord, these disciples of John the Baptist, when they heard this, They didn't go into a big debate. They didn't have to go into a room and consider and think it over and sleep on it and everything else. No, they heard the Word of God, and they realized in their hearts that this was the truth, that Jesus had indeed come into the world. And yes, now they were to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And although they had been baptized by John the Baptist, and that was legitimate for that time, yet they needed to be rebaptized because, oh yes, his baptism was just unto repentance. And here they needed to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And praise the Lord, it clicked. And they obeyed. Praise the Lord. And it tells us in verse 6, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Oh, praise the Lord, the Holy Ghost came upon them. The Spirit that was in Jesus, oh, praise the Lord, came upon them, and they spake with tongues, and they prophesied. And all the men were about 12. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, yes, we see, oh, yes, how it continues here in the book of Acts. And now wanting to go one more place in the book of Acts, I'd like you to go to the 22nd chapter of the book of Acts with me. And here in this chapter, we have Paul telling his testimony. He's giving his testimony. Oh, yes, he's his defense in Jerusalem. Of course, there's an outrage. You know, the Jewish people really caused a lot of havoc time and time again. But here it is. You know, there was a lot of commotion, and there was a great uproar, and oh my, they were all upset over Paul. Praise the Lord. But anyway, he's able to give his testimony. In the 22nd chapter of the book of Acts is Paul's testimony. And of course, you know, he was earlier known as Saul of Tarsus. And oh yes, he tells us all details. Let's just look at it right now. I'm not going to be able to read the whole chapter, but yet let's just look at some of these points here in Luke, the 22nd chapter. I'm sorry, Acts, the 22nd chapter. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 22. Praise the Lord. He begins by saying in verse 6, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. In the same hour I looked up upon him. Praise the Lord. Yes, he had been blinded by that light. Oh, the vision. Oh, yes, as the voice from heaven spoke to him. As we know, he was on the way, oh, yes, to Damascus, and he was on his way, oh, yes, to persecute Christians. He was going to bring them back to Jerusalem, and most likely they would have been killed. But praise the Lord, God intervened. God intervened in a mighty way, and praise the Lord, He spoke to Saul that day. And oh yes, something clicked in his heart, something that he didn't realize. He had not realized that he was persecuting God by persecuting the Christians. And praise the Lord, that voice from heaven, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And oh, yes, you can imagine, as oh, he is struck in such an amazing way. Oh, that question that came back, "Who art thou, Lord?" And all that response, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what a moment that was. But it changed that man. Oh, yes. Oh, it changed him. And oh, yes, he didn't know what to do. But oh, yes, he was told to rise and go into Damascus. And it would be told of him what he must do, the things that were appointed for him. Oh, yes. And praise the Lord, there was this devout man named Ananias was there to receive him, and it couldn't have been easy. They all knew about Saul, how he was persecuting Christians. There was no way they could trust him, but oh my, the Lord worked it all out, as he knows how to do. And praise the Lord, he prayed for him, calling him Brother Saul. Praise the Lord, he prayed for him, and oh yes, he received his sight. And oh, yes, it says in verse 13, "And the same hour I looked up upon him." Oh, praise the Lord, how the Lord dealt with him. Such an amazing story. And he went on to say, verse 14, Ananias said, "The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." And the point I'm getting at is here in verse 16. Oh, this question. "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Oh, praise the Lord. What a message is given right here. Oh, yes, these instructions that are coming forth that need, oh, yes, to arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Oh, yes, there's some details given in this 16th verse. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, first of all, that need, oh, not to wait, not to tarry, but to arise and be baptized. And again, we know what the word baptized means. It means to be immersed, to be fully whelmed, to praise the Lord. Baptizo in the Greek. And yes, beyond that, yes, he's telling him, wash away thy sins. How could he say this? Yes, because baptism in the name of Jesus is for the remission of sins. Praise the Lord. When we come to the Lord in repentance, He forgives us our sins. And what a gift that is. It's wonderful to be forgiven our sins. But in the waters of baptism, our sins are remitted. They are washed away. They are purged. Oh, yes, they are totally canceled. In the name of Jesus, there remains no more penalty for sin. Praise the Lord. So, yes, Ananias is telling him to arise and to be baptized and wash away thy sins. And, yes, calling on the name of the Lord. Oh, yes, that name. Oh, yes, to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, to invoke the name of Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism, that authority, that name which is above every name, that name by which every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. Amen. Oh, that name, that authority, that power. We all know that if we were writing down a check and they just signed it by saying father or mother or boy or girl or some kind of title, nobody would catch it, would they? There'd be no power. There would be no signature. You know, no way that, no authority that check could be cashed. And so it is when we obey the command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. It is essential that we call upon the name of the Lord. And yes, that need to carry out that which was instructed by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yeah, those instructions that He gave before He ascended. That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Praise the Lord, as He instructed in Luke 24. Oh, yes. Oh, that need, yes. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that command. And praise the Lord, it was carried out in the book of Acts. And I see I'm running out of time. But oh, yes, as Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, how these words ring forth even until this day. Praise the Lord, that answer that He gave those that were gathered there together on and needing desperately to know what they needed to do to buy, to obtain, shall I say, salvation. You can't buy salvation. No, it's to obtain salvation. And Peter's words, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. The Word of God, the doctrine of water baptism, and if the Lord permits, I'll continue with this study. But, oh, yes, we have much to be thankful. We have the Word of God that, oh, instructs us how to be saved. And, oh, yes, we know our Lord is the same as He was on the day of Pentecost. The gospel hasn't changed. The command hasn't changed. And praise the Lord, just as those that heard those words on the day of Pentecost received those words and were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, about 3,000 of them. Praise the Lord. So it is today. Oh, yes. That wonderful privilege to go down in the waters in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Oh, yes, with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord hasn't abandoned us. He knows that we need, oh yes, that same power that they had at Pentecost. We need to repent. We need to be baptized in His name, just like the early church did. For in fact, we are part of that church that was established by Jesus Christ. And yes, it hasn't changed. That foundation that was laid is still the same. Praise the Lord in that command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ remains until this very hour. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad for that wonderful day when I was able to obey that need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Oh, praise the Lord. What a difference it made. Oh, to have one's sins buried in those waters of baptism. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, there's more to say. But praise the Lord. I'm so glad for what the Word of God instructs. I'm so glad for that wonderful doctrine of baptism. Oh, yes, water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise our God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. I pray that you would work in our hearts. Oh, God, I pray that you would call us. I pray that you would talk. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that you would instruct us and help us, Lord. Oh, God, to give heed to the things that were written in thy precious word. Oh, God, that we would, oh, Lord, allow thy word to direct us, to lead us, and to get us ready, Lord, for that day when we stand before thee. In the name of Jesus, I ask. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Amen. Praise our Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise our God. Lord, thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we are going to turn our chorus books to number 36 and sing, I Love Jesus Best of All, number 36. For he saves my soul from sin, gives me peace and joy within. I've been buried in his name, and of him I'm not ashamed. For I love Jesus best of all, for he saves my soul from sin, gives me peace and joy within. I've been buried in his name, and of him I'm not ashamed. For I love Jesus best of all, for he saves my soul from sin, gives me peace and joy within. I've been buried in his name, and of him I'm not ashamed. For I love Jesus best of all, for he saves my soul from sin, gives me peace and joy within. I've been buried in his name, and of him I'm not ashamed. For I love Jesus best of all. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night.